8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk to Me here on Knotfest.com. As always, I am Joshua Toomey, joined by the one and only Chris Aiken. Chris, how we doing?
Awesome, man. What's happening?
Not much, man. I after last week, at the very end of the last week's episode, you brought up wrestling, and and actually, you know, with WWE being on Peacock, Sunday morning, I was kind of just chilling around the house, and I saw a few things about the Royal Rumble, and I always liked the concept of the Royal Rumble. Like, I just something fun about, you don't know who's coming out next, and, you know, it's just every man for himself type thing out there. So I turned on the Royal Rumble to check it out, and I thought it wasn't too bad, man. I actually had a good time watching it.
All right, well, I liked some of it. It wasn't awful, but it was definitely a kind of weaker than they've been doing. Yeah, you know, I love the end. I love the whole bloodline thing and Sami Zayn getting clocked and all. I love all that stuff. But the Rumbles themselves, again, if you follow WWE, you knew what was going to happen before it even started. I mean, you knew Rhea Ripley was going to win. You knew Cody Rhodes. The minute Cody Rhodes came out, you're like, yeah, there's your winner.
Yeah.
You know, it was very predictable. The Bray Wyatt thing, it looked awesome. That did look very cool.
Yeah.
But again, that didn't move any storyline anywhere. And the pyro going off, and this is so dumb, but it's me being me. The pyro went off like a tenth of a second too late when Captain Howdy jumped through the stage at the end.
Right. Okay.
And because it went off like just that 10th or 20th of a second later than it should have, it wrecked. This is fake. Not that I thought it was real anyway. Not that I thought some mystical creature was arising up to the rafters and jumping down. But, you know, I just watched it and was like, you know, doesn't look real enough for me. You know, it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, as I texted you, The fact that Cody Rhodes came from Dusty Rhodes, like, makes no sense to me at all. Like, you know, the mom must just be the fit one of the family.
Yeah. Well, but if you watch wrestling, it makes even less sense, because when you look at some of Cody's previous characters, which were so bad, when he was Stardust, or when he was Dashing Cody Rhodes, that was the worst. They had him grow a stupid mustache. That's all they did. They had him grow a mustache, and they called him Dashing Cody Rhodes. Right. It was the dumbest gimmick maybe ever. And you know, now he's like a superstar. But, dude, he had to leave. He's a weird one, because he left as a jobber. When he left WWE and went and formed AEW, he was a jobber. And he became a superstar in all the indie stuff, and then AEW. And then he went back, and he's like, you know, the best guy, or one of the best guys. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then, what is it? Rey Mysterio's kid is like twice his size.
Yeah. Twice his size. And he's being led by Rhea Ripley, who, all right, let's just get this out of the way. Is Rhea Ripley in goth hot or not?
You know, it's funny, is the wife and I, we debated. Rhea Ripley should be like 100% my type. Yeah. And I should 100% be into her, but she's like, she's just a hair too manly. Like, it's just a hair. Like, it's not as it's like, sometimes I'm like, all right. And actually, by the end of the Rumble, when some of the makeup had worn off, like, she actually looked way hotter, but I 100% should be on the Rhea Ripley train, but I just can't get on it.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat with her. She's like 99% hot.
Yeah,
but there's that 1% that keeps her, kind of levels the playing field for the other 99. It's like
manly, but it's also like Marilyn Manson-y. Like, she's you know, in a bad way.
And let's be honest too, she looks a little worse next to Liv Morgan as well, because Liv Morgan is smoking hot. You know.
Yeah, it was funny, you know, because I don't follow. I know who Rhea Ripley is because, you know, she does make it into like the metal headlines and things like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I know who that is. And I know a couple of the random female wrestlers. But it was funny as the 30 went on, like a lot of the times it was just a weird version of the girl that just came out before her. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like crazy pink hair. Oh, this one's crazy blue hair. And this one's crazy, you know, green hair. And, you know, it was I knew what's the dark haired girl that was in some sort of alliance. She's been around for a while. I knew her. She's got one name.
Asuka.
Asuka. I think might've been in the same tag though. Or a team.
Bailey.
Yeah. I knew her. She's kind of fluctuated. Wasn't she a little bit gothy at one point too? Maybe.
Well, she was like a happy girl for a while. And then she was like wearing all black. But she never, now she's like just kind of an asshole, which is okay. I'll be honest. I like that gimmick on her better than anything that she's done. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I follow this stuff and I didn't know half of the women, you know, right. They just kept saying, hey, here's so-and-so. And I was like, okay, who's she? And I'm looking her up on my phone. I'm like, okay, another one from NXT. It's like, okay. So they didn't have 30 women. So they went to the minors. Got it.
Well, you know, what's funny is, as you know, if you watch the ladies wrestle because of what they're wearing and stuff like that, but actually the best outfit of the night was Michelle McCool when she came out of the crowd and like just some sweats and like a gym bra or whatever you call it. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, babe, that's what you wear around the house. This is like super hot that she's just wrestling in like some sweatpants.
But then she only lasted a minute or something. She was not in there very long, was she?
I thought she was in there for a while.
Was she in there a little while?
Yeah, she made it in there for a little bit. There was the one girl that came in and was immediately thrown right back out, which I thought was hilarious. But yeah, overall Royal Rumble, good time, man. I had fun watching it.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. If you watch them all, then you put that one as about a 7 out of 10. I mean, it wasn't bad. I'm not saying by any means. I'm not saying it's bad. And look, anytime you get Alexa Bliss one on one with anybody, you get 4 points from me because I love Alexa Bliss. So you know, it was good, not great. I'm hoping that it's going to be better for WrestleMania, but I don't know. I think WWE missed some opportunities with the stories. They should have put Liv Morgan over. Rhea Ripley, and then had Rhea Ripley beat her ass for the next 2 months up until WrestleMania, and then have her win the belt, and then it's like a big triumphant story, and then you make a huge star out of a smaller star. But who am I? I'm just some watcher guy. I don't write this shit.
Yeah, the other I guess the Jake Paul kind of dive across the thing with the
Logan
other guy.
Logan Paul,
the one of the Paul brothers.
Yeah.
His crazy dive across that was pretty impressive.
That was pretty sweet. And boy, he gets no love from any of the WWE. The WWE fans hate him.
Yeah.
Like they're trying so hard to make him a good guy. They're trying so hard. And every single time he gets in the ring, it's like, fuck you, Logan. You know?
But you know, what's crazy is like, there's a commercial for, one of the wrestling podcasts, but they always talk about, you know, the different trying to bring in, you know, like Master P back in the day and like all the different kind of crossover that they always try to bring in. But the one thing with Logan Paul is like my stepson was at the house with a couple of his friends and they walked through the living room and they're like, oh, Logan Paul. Like they know who that is over, you know, almost probably the other wrestlers that were in the match, you know? So it's definitely a smart thing for the WWE to try to bring him in. He's obviously athletic too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it works for what they're trying to do, which is, you know, WWE's biggest problem is all their fans are my age.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's not going to help them here. Cause guys like me will be dead in 10 years. So then what, right, you know, then
you're trying to bring in the new guy.
Exactly. So, I mean, it makes sense, but for us old heads, you know, Logan Paul does not move the needle.
Right.
You know, we still look at him, oh, stupid YouTube guy, you know, meanwhile, he probably plays to more people when he does his podcast than we will in a year. So, you know, it's like,
So let's see here. So the interview I did this week was Devin Swank of Sangwasugabog.
Did you mess up the name when you talked to him at all?
Well, I had it. Someone actually, it was funny when I sat down to do the interview, I did like one last scan of everything. Okay. And the very latest post they had on Facebook was, you know, a post making fun of interviewers messing up the band name. So underneath the comment section, a fan of the band actually phonetically wrote it out or whatever. Right. So I wrote it down and I was like, all right, let's get this out of the way before I start. And I had it like one syllable off. Okay. And so I wrote it down and I had it, you know, I had it for the thing and I was like, all right, well, I will say it one time and never say it again.
Nice.
But man, what a fucking killer band though. Like the old school death metal of them. I loved it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a great band. I honestly, I still don't know how to say their name and I never will, because let's face it, they're one of those bands that can go ahead and write their name in something I can't read because I'm never going to learn to say it anyway. So fine. You know, fine. It's those guys, you know,
it was fun because, you know, I could tell he's probably sick of like, oh, the band name, but, and I kind of went at it like, it just kind of proves that you don't have to have a cool band name. You know, you don't have to have, you know, band names don't mean anything these days. And they're like, yeah, he throws it out there. And he's like, yeah, it's fun when like guys at the marquee have to put it up on something, or, you know, I was like, how many misspellings have you seen when, you know, you got the guy out there with the pack of letters trying to put Sangwasugabog on something. And he's like, yeah. And then sometimes it's too long, so they just weirdly abbreviate it and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it was a fun interview, man. He was cool. A good guy. Good guy. Good Ohio boy. You know, you right down the street in Columbus, Ohio from
me. Yeah. Yeah. A little drive. It's all good. Yeah. Good for him.
It's not too far. Any what interviews did you put out this week?
Ronnie Romero, the only one that I put out as far as actual out. And then on Monday, I talked to, I think, half of the 80s hair metal bands known to man. I talked to Terry Alouse from XYZ and Great White, and Keith St. John of Kingdom Come and formerly of Lynch Mob and Montrose, and our good buddy Drew, formerly of Bang Tango, but also of the Lucid. So
yeah, actually, I listened to the interview today. That was a good one.
Yeah, Drew looking all different now. He looks like a fucking gangster now.
Oh, you know? Yeah,
yeah. He grew a beard and stuff. He looks all hard now. Where he used to look like a 12-year-old kid, but now he looks like all grown up. Anyway, he's like 40.
I reached out to him today. He's because he lives up in Indy, and so I'll probably hit him up when I get. It's funny. I think you and I have talked about this off mic, but, you know, bring it to Mike. But, you know, I go get my tattoos done by a guy. And the third time I sit down for the tattoo, he's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. You know, what do you think I should do? And, you know, and then I give him the, you know, do this, do that, do this. And, you know, you know, I've got the trainer, too. So I go to the gym, and second or third time I'm at the trainer, you know, he's like, man, I'm thinking about doing a gym podcast. You know, what do you think? You know, like, right. I'm like, at some point I need to start, you know, charging for these services, like how to get a podcast off the ground. But
sure.
Preston Nash, former Primer 55 drummer, reached out to me the other day, and him and his wife were talking about doing a podcast kind of based around, cause they do like a School of Rock type deal up in Indy.
Sure.
And so they wanted to kind of add, they have a radio background, but they don't have a podcast background. So they wanted to talk to me about how, you know, how to edit and how to get it up there and the different, you know, places you can post it and things like that. And, you know, just their thoughts behind, you know, doing a podcast based on the School of Rock thing. Cause it's an all ages thing. It's
sure.
You know, from 8 to 80 kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of people that are, you know, doctors and lawyers and things like that, that on the weekends want to bust out a Twisted Sister song. And so they go and they learn how to play the song, and then they do a show, you know, once a month, once a week. I don't know how often they do it, but he always posts videos and stuff of their little, you know, they go to a bar and they have, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the rock night, and everybody gets up and plays their tunes or whatever. So they wanted to kind of get a podcast that's kind of based around the stories behind the people sure. that are doing all these shows. So, that being said, he's up in Indy doing it. And, so he wants me to come up there and do the show too at some point. And
okay.
So I was like, you know, hit up Drew Fortier while I'm in town.
Yeah. Why not? Hell yeah. Dude, isn't it weird though with the musicians, anybody you've ever known that was in a band seems to have a podcast now.
Yeah.
You know, I was just at random yesterday, I just had random play on my phone going while I was working, and a band that I used to love 25 years ago, but I haven't heard boo from since, this band called Brand New Sin. Remember that band?
For
a minute at like 2000, yeah. Maybe they were never big at all, but they, for a minute, we all knew of them. And I was like, man, I wonder whatever happened to that guy. So I Googled the guy's name. His name's Joe Altier. And sure as shit, here it is, the Just Joe podcast with Joe, with Joe Altier. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. You know, and he has like 100 episodes of his podcast that are out there and stuff.
Too. You know, I've actually listened to that podcast. And I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, he was the Brand New Sin guy. He was the deep throat, deep voice guy from Brand New Sin. I was like, bleh.
Yeah, he interviewed Lennon. That's the podcast that Lennon was on.
Okay. There you go.
So I've heard his podcast. And I think I listened to a few episodes of it. It's not bad. It's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good. But I mean, you didn't put it together at all that he used to be in a band that was like touring same time you were.
Yeah, it was one of those deals. It was like, I think he mentioned he was in a band, but I don't think he ever said what band he was in, kind of thing.
No.
So
yeah, just weird.
Which I think people get that with this sometimes. They'll be listening to a few episodes and then they'll text me like, I didn't even realize you were in Primer 55, even though I probably say it like every three episodes. Sure. But that's cool, man. He definitely has a good podcast, man. Good times.
Good stuff.
Well, let's dive into some news. I guess the biggest news of the day, man, a legend has retired. Tom Brady, man, he's hanging it up.
Tom Brady. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to wait a month before I start saying that Tom Brady's retired.
Yeah, even my wife, man, she told me today, because she doesn't care for football at all. And like, I mean, I turn into the Charlie Brown's parents when I start talking to her about football. I can just see like the blank expression on her face as I start to talk about it. But even today, she's like, I saw Tom Brady retired. And she's like, yeah, right. You know, like she made fun of it, you know.
Yeah. But I don't know. Did you watch the video, the little 1 minute video that he put out?
They played it on the radio. I heard him talking.
I didn't see it.
No,
dude, he looks awful.
Well, he lost 20 pounds from the divorce, you know?
Yeah. He looks all gray skinned and stuff. It's like, oof, he really looks like that, you know, giving away that much money to Giselle is just draining the life out of him.
Right. You know, I was going to make a post about, you know, how do we, you know, live now that Tom Brady and Ozzy have retired the same day, but actually a few, like I think outkick.com posted about it, you know, and then a few of the metal sites kind of brought in the Tom Brady side of it too. I thought it was kind of funny that a lot of people were putting that out there, because obviously we're talking about Ozzy Osbourne.
Sure.
Has now released a statement and officially retiring from touring.
Right. Well, you know, dude, and it's funny. Ozzy bigger than metal. I literally today get a phone call from my 75-year-old mom. To tell me that Ozzy retired. My mom calls me and she's like, did you see that Ozzy Osbourne retired? Because he's that kind of, you know, my mom's not sitting around listening to Paranoid or
she might be.
No More Tears. No, she's not. I could tell you that. she's not. And, you know, but he's that kind of very, very iconic, you know, guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really, I'm happy he's retiring personally, because he has sucked live for a ton of years. I mean, he just has not been good for 20 years, I would say, where he just has not been very good. Maybe longer. It's been a long, I mean, even at the Ozfests, he wasn't great.
I'm trying to think, you know, 20 years would be what, 03. So, I enjoyed the Ozfest and obviously seeing Black Sabbath, you know, reforming, things like that. But yeah, I mean, he's been kind of stuck in the same, you know, old man walking around the stage with his
clapping and the frog jumping and stuff. I mean, that was all corny shit. You know, I saw Ozzy all the way back into the early days. Like, I think the first time I saw Ozzy was 84, 85. You know, and I obviously saw them and Ozzy and Metallica. That was a tour, and Ozzy and Motley Crue, you know, the ant snorting tour. You know, I didn't see him snorting ants, but I mean, it was that tour. You know, I saw him. So, you know, I'm very fortunate that I'm old enough to have seen those tours. But I also saw him with like Korn and the Deftones, where he got smoked. You know, he got smoked even by the Deftones. So, you know, my feelings on the Deftones, and the Deftones were better than Ozzy. Deftones were better than Ozzy.
Yeah, I saw. I mean, like I saw that tour, like I said, but it was Korn and Life of Agony. And, you know, it's funny, even seeing that tour. And let me preface this by saying I love Black Sabbath and Ozzy. Like I
me too.
You know, but at the time, I think I was 15 or 16, all and right. like Korn and Life of Agony. The Korn and Life of Agony to me were bigger than Ozzy in mm-hmm. to me at the time. So I don't even know if I stayed for Ozzy. And now looking back, I kind of wish I would have stayed to, because it was like Yeezer Butler was playing bass at the time. And
sure.
obviously that was Zach and everything else. Like looking back, I probably should have paid a little bit more attention, but you know, but then getting to see them through the Ozfest and things like that was, you know, it was definitely awesome to see all that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super glad that I got to see him, and I got to see him with both Black Sabbath and with you know, solo as Ozzy. That's very cool, and I'm mm-hmm. glad that I have that in the history. You know, the weird thing is, at least in my head, and I hope he does retire. I hope he's completely retired. I'm sure he'll make more music, which I wish he wouldn't do. But if he does stay retired, completely retired at this point, he goes out on a good record. That Patient Number 9, that's the best record he's done in 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, to me, that's the best record, certainly since Osmosis, if not No More Tears. All the rest of the stuff in between there has been junk. You know, and honestly, well, do you like any of them? Any of them? Do you like Black Rain or
no?
Or you know, I mean, none of those records were any good. And I know some people liked the Under the Graveyard. I thought that was terrible too, but you know, because he didn't have a guitar player, he had that horrible Andrew Watt playing guitar,
right?
You know, but this last one was really solid. He had great players. He had Zach. He had Jeff Beck. He had Iommi. He had a bunch of great players on it, and whoever wrote the songs for him wrote good songs. It sounded like Ozzy. So you know, like even the hit, the Patient Number 9 song. That's a damn good Ozzy song. So if he goes out right there, I'm okay with that. It's much, much better than if his last thing would have been Under the Graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
Much better ending to an otherwise great career.
Well, judging by his statement, I'm assuming that he'll probably do more. Let's dive into his statement here. Late Tuesday night, Ozzy released the following statement. This is probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to share with my loyal fans. And as you may all know, 4 years ago this month, I had a major accident where I damaged my spine. My one and only purpose during this time was to get back on stage. My singing voice is fine. However, after 3 operations, stem cell treatments, endless physical therapy sessions, and most recently, groundbreaking cybernics treatment, my body is still physically weak. So I think with my singing voice is fine part is telling you right there that he's going to continue to record. I am honestly humbled by the way you've all patiently held onto your tickets for all this time, but in good conscience, I have to now come to the realization that I'm not physically able or capable of doing my upcoming European/UK tour dates, as I know I couldn't deal with the travel required. Believe me when I say that the thought of disappointing my fans really fucks me up.
Wow.
More than you will ever know. Never would I have imagined my touring days would have ended this way. My team is currently coming up with ideas for where I will be able to perform without having to travel from city to city and country to country. And lastly here, I want to thank my family, my band, my crew, and my longtime friends, Judas Priest, and of course, my fans for their endless dedication, loyalty, and support, and for giving me the life that I never dreamed I would have. I love you all.
So you know what that reads to me like? Ozzy Osbourne will be the first VR star.
Right.
Because you
already,
know,
he's already dipped his toes in it.
He's already dipped his toes in it, and now, you know, he could get that Watt guy who, you know, to write him another batch of tunes, and they could start developing the, you know, the VR to it now.
Yeah.
With video that they have over the last 40 years, so that by the time he's ready to release a new record, there it is, ready to go.
What is crazy about this is had Ozzy's European tour with Judas Priest actually taken place in May of 2023, it would have been more than 4 years later than originally planned and almost 5 years after tickets first went on sale in September of 2018.
Wow. That's craziness.
And they've been just sitting on that money for the last almost 5 years.
Yeah, well, they got to make their money somehow, so why not off interest?
I think I've told the story on the podcast, though. Like, the wife and I had tickets to Deftones a couple of years ago, and she bought the tickets while she was, you know, while we weren't married. So it had her former name on it. So she got it. She closed that card and got a new card with her current name on it.
Sure.
And then, so when they refunded the tickets, back to a card that wasn't active anymore.
Oh.
So the credit card company says they don't have the money. So then we hit up Ticketmaster or whoever. They're like, no, we refunded that money. So that money is just gone. And that's like $250 just out in the ether. So, I mean, I bet you this happens more than not on this.
I'll bet.
On these people that have tickets that are 5 years old.
Like, yeah. Probably a lot of them on that Motley Crue stadium tour as well. Because wasn't that like 4 years or 3 years between when they went on sale and when they actually played shows?
Yeah, but at least they actually played the shows. Like, I'm talking like Deftones canceled, so they get refunds.
Right.
And the refunds are automatically going back to a card that doesn't exist. So, nobody wanted to fess up to that money anywhere.
Well, you know, somebody got it.
Yeah, probably.
You donated the poor Ticketmaster. They needed your support.
Yeah, well, I built a new, stadium somewhere with my money.
That's right.
Good old Ticketmaster. Yeah, man, it's funny because, you know, we talk about this all the time about, you know, Ozzy can't, you know, kind of being one of the last ones, like during COVID, like, you know, everybody make sure to keep an eye on Ozzy. Like, that was the running joke and stuff. And it is kind of bums me out to just kind of read those words that, you know, his body is failing him, so he can't tour, you know, that his spirits are there and his singing voice is there, but, you know, just physically can't do it anymore.
It's a bummer, but at the same time, think of the alternative.
Yeah.
Think of if he worked himself up enough to drag his ass out there to do, like, you know, I know it was only on TV for like 0.3 seconds or whatever, but when he showed up at that football game earlier this year and they had him strapped to a harness, right. It was like, come on, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Ozzy, who is at one point the scariest, most powerful of all of the metal guys. I don't want to see him strapped to a harness to hold his ass up to sing.
Yeah.
And then having somebody behind the curtain singing for him anyway. I just don't want that. It's fine. He's done enough. He's done it for 50 years. He's done enough. He's given us heavy metal. Yeah. He doesn't owe anybody anything else.
I need more shows, man.
I don't. Dude, and I'm being as honest as I can be here without trying. And I'm trying not to be disrespectful to Ozzy here, because I love Black Sabbath, especially. I'm not the biggest fan of his solo stuff, but I love Black Sabbath. And, you know, the thing is if you didn't see him by now, sometimes you're just out of luck. Sometimes you're just going to have to live with the past stuff. Go get a DVD. There's 15 DVDs of him performing well out there. Yeah. And you know what? It's better to remember him that way than in a shitty way. I think that for all artists.
Yeah. I think I would rather remember him the way he is now, maybe over like that weird short hair period where he was kind of fat and then he was wearing like tights, you know, like running around, like the
shot in the dark era or whatever. Yeah.
I think I'd rather see this era than I'd maybe want to forget that DVD.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that. Or Ultimate Sin or whatever, when he had the, you know, the highlighted hair and stuff. Yeah. I mean, he looked kind of corny then, but I like remember him as the Black Sabbath guy, you know, with the fringe shirt and the, you know, screaming and stoned out of his mind, you know, snorted up three miles of cocaine before every show. You know, I like that Ozzy. That was the fun Ozzy.
And I like those old shows of that where they're like the crowd is just sitting like in the field.
Yeah.
And they're all just and like, you know, they're out there playing Iron Man and Paranoid and Symptom of the Universe, yeah. And everybody's just chilling.
Yeah, everybody's just
there watching it.
Like, yeah, they go. Right. The end of every song.
now if they were those songs would be played, it'd be like people just punching each other in the face.
Yeah. Exactly. But
good time.
Yeah, I mean it's good for Ozzy to let go. I'm glad he finally convinced Sharon to let him let go, because we don't need to see it. We don't need to see broken Ozzy out there. We do not need to see Ozzy. I mean, look at the direction that he was going. And there's a practical example of it now. Phil Collins. Do we want to see Ozzy in a chair? Because that's what they're going to have to do if they trot him out there. Stick him in a wheelchair. Do you want to see Ozzy in a wheelchair singing those songs?
I think I'm good on that one.
I don't want to see that either. And that's so, you know, God bless. 50 years, go retire. Satan bless, or whatever it is that blesses Ozzy, you know.
Yeah, you can tell Sharon was doing everything possible to get him back on stage. It says, however, you know, after three operations, stem cell treatments, endless physical therapy, and a groundbreaking cybernetics howl treatment. You know, she was like calling everybody like, let's get him back on stage.
Well, she's just going to have to admit it. Her ATM card has just expired.
Right.
Sorry, that's as much as you're getting.
So with the Whitfield Crane Ozzy Osbourne experience about to hit the road.
Well, hey, maybe that's why Whit's out there touring with Ugly Kid Joe. Maybe he had some advanced knowledge that this tour wasn't coming.
I could see that too.
Now it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It's all coming together. Well, speaking of a tour coming to a town near you, let's talk about the Knotfest Roadshow Presents.
All right.
Beartooth and Trivium. Nice. The run will feature supporting sets from Archetypes, Collide, and Malevolence.
Good show.
The touring slate for 2023 just hit another massive addition with arguably one of the best pairings thus far. Ooh. Under the banner of Knotfest Roadshow, which continues to push the agenda of heavy culture and art, Florida Veterans Trivium will team with Ohio's powerhouse Beartooth for a mammoth spring trek.
Nice.
In addition to the potent 1-2 of the tour's headliners, the comprehensive 29-city stretch will include crucial supporting sets from Arizona Prospects, Archetypes, Collide, and Sheffield's Heavyweights in Malevolence.
Well, that's a lot of big words. I will say, I don't know who wrote that, but wow. Oh, you know, put down the thesaurus and just, you know, just write that they kick ass, because that's all you need to say. Trivium kicks ass. You know, I take so much shit from people because I like Trivium. I love that band. I've been on board with them since, well, not the first. I didn't really like the first album. I know a lot of people did, but the Crusade was where they hooked me in. Crusade is such a great record, and everything since has been good. And Heafy's a monster. It's weird that you brought this tour up, or Knotfest has you doing the read or whatever for this tour now, because literally this afternoon I was listening to the Roadrunner United record.
Mm-hmm.
And Heafy's all over that thing. And he kills on that thing. He absolutely murdered on that thing. So, yeah, that's a great tour. Beartooth as well, another great band. Oh, that's worth going. Sir. Hell yes.
Yeah. And let's see here. Will it be coming? How close is it to me? How close is it to you? Yeah. Columbus, Ohio.
2 hours.
I wonder if that's... wonder if that's maybe the festival or something.
Is that Incarnation? Is it in July?
No, it's in May. So it says, Columbus, Ohio is Beartooth only. So I guess Trivium said, screw you, I'm out. Indianapolis, Indiana, I could head up to that one.
Sure.
This Corbin, Kentucky keeps getting shows, and they're like in the Appalachian Mountains. But they've got some like small hockey arena type thing, like, you know, AAA hockey arena out there that they put on shows, man. And they whoever's doing the stuff out there, man, they've been doing well.
That's cool.
I think Dokken was like played out there like five, like they went through this phase of like, you know, all of the Dokkens of the world were coming through. And then now they're like branching out to actually like, you know, more current bands.
Right. They made enough money off the Dokken bands to bring in the more popular bands.
Right. Or Trivium's just kind of getting to that, that classic rock age. Right.
Isn't that sad? And that's, I remember when they were a brand new band.
Yeah.
And now they're like elder statesmen. Oof.
I've joked about that with Matt a few times on the podcast because he's still, I think he's still maybe just turned 40, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And most bands that are popular now are also 40, but he's been popular since he was like 18.
Right.
So it's like, he's had like an entire career before some people's careers even got off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Just like when I chatted with Andy from Black Veil Brides.
Yeah.
And he said he was what, 32 or whatever he is, 35 or something. And I was like, 35? I've been knowing that guy forever. You know, how can he only be that old?
Let's dive into a couple of festivals coming up.
All right.
Incarceration Fest got announced today as we record. And I think it's a pretty damn stacked bill. And I love the fact that Limp Bizkit is headlining one night.
Yeah.
So yeah, your headliners are Slipknot, Pantera, and Limp Bizkit.
So. Yeah, that might be Pantera number four for me.
I might head down to Ink. That's closer to you,
that's,
right?
That's near me. Yeah, it's like an hour from here. You know, hour 15, something like that. Right. I mean, and I would like to see all three headliners. Yeah. And there's a lot of good bands as well. I'm not a big fan of festivals in general, but I could probably go each day for like 6 o'clock and I could probably see all the bands that I want to see, you know, but just to see the headliners, I'd be good. If I just see over the course of the weekend, if I see Limp Bizkit, Pantera and Slipknot, cool.
That's cool. So we'll dive into a little bit more Friday. Limp Bizkit, Volbeat, Highly Suspect, Cold Chamber, Hatebreed, POD, Slaughter to Prevail, We Came as Romans, Fit for a King, Vended, Kublai Khan, Killer's Confession, kind of just cherry picking as we get smaller here. That's about it on the big names on Friday. So Saturday, you've got Pantera, Lamb of God, In This Moment, Motionless in White, Under Oath, The Ghost Inside, Suicide Silence, Memphis May Fire, Mushroom Head, The Kings of Ohio, Fire from the Gods, The Violent, and then Heart Sick, couple of other bands, and then Sunday, Slipknot, Megadeth, Bush, Flyleaf, Asking Alexandria, Wage War, Crown the Empire, Gwar, 10 Years, Fame on Fire, Dayseeker, Gideon, you got Flame on Fire, and you've also got Ava Under Fire.
Wow.
And oh, that Frail, I had them on the podcast. They're on that too. So yeah, man, it's just, that's three great days of music right there.
Yeah, it's a lot of music though.
Yeah,
that's a lot of bands.
You're gonna be like in the old Black Sabbath things, just sitting in the field like clapping.
Yeah. No, I won't be. I'll be getting there about 6:30 every day, and I'll be seeing Volbeat and Limp Bizkit, and I'll be seeing Slipknot, and I'll be seeing Lamb of God, and I'll be seeing Pantera. Good to go.
What about Megadeth? You got to see Megadeth.
No, I don't. Fuck Megadeth.
Oh, come on now.
No, I would see. I would, honestly, I would watch Megadeth. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm still Team Ellison, goddammit.
But yeah, man, Incarceration Fest looks pretty good. And
yeah, that's a good, that's a good lineup.
And then Jamie Josta has brought back the Milwaukee Metal Fest. And before we dive into the this year's lineup of the Milwaukee Metal Fest, growing up, you know, when the height of like the Milwaukee Metal Fest and like, what was that late 80s, early 90s. I would literally read Metal Maniacs and just like dream of going to the Milwaukee Metal Fest and read the reviews and like try to place it in my head and how it all worked and everything else. And I love the fact that he's brought back the Milwaukee Metal Fest.
I'm with you. I'm not a big travel guy.
Yeah.
And I've been to the Milwaukee Metal Fest two different times. You know, I've traveled to Milwaukee a couple of times to see the Milwaukee Metal Fest, and it was always great. Yeah. And I'm thrilled that it's back. And as once you start reading the lineup, we will prove I'm even more thrilled that Jamie just didn't fill it with a bunch of shit. It is within the scope of what the Milwaukee Metal Fest has always been. And I could not be happier seeing this lineup. It is fantastic.
Yeah. So the lineup is Lamb of God, Anthrax, Suicidal Tendencies, Napalm Death, Dark Angel, The Black Dahlia Murder, Obituary, Shadows Fall, Corrosion of Conformity, Fear Factory, After the Burial, The Halo Effect, Dying Fetus, Immolation, Crowbar, Violence, Goat Whore, Jungle Rot, Misery Index, Broken Hope, Terror, Macabre, Gate Creeper, Sanguasugabog.
There you go.
Let me look at my notes here. Sanguasugabog. Frozen Soul, Defeated Sanity, Dying Wish, Chemist, Undeath, Blood Incantation, Imperial Triumphant, Impaler, Fuming Mouth, Ingrown, Hath, Repentance, Casket Robbery, Dissenter, Thrown into Exile, and Toxic Ruin are the bands that have been announced so far. And there's more to come.
Yeah, that's just killer.
Yeah,
I'm tempted to go to that one too, dude. I want to go to so many of these things this year. You know, my concert going is starting to really fill up. I'm going to three Panteras and a Queensryche and the Kings of Thrash and Incarnation probably. And now that's a definite thought. That
yeah,
I may jump in the car and drive to Milwaukee, which is a long drive. It's like 8-9 hours, but
oh wow. Yeah, I've played the Rave a couple of times, and now that I've been there and played there, I can kind of see how they would, you know, space this out or whatever. But I would love to see this. I would love to just, honestly, I don't care who's playing. I just want to go to the Milwaukee Metal Fest because as a kid, it was like one of those destinations. I'm like, man, I was like, you know, 12, 13 years old.
Sure.
Reading about it, all these death metal bands I was into at the time.
All right, so for this year, Incarnation or Milwaukee Metal Fest?
Whew. Man, honestly, that's a tough one.
That's a toughie.
Because
you see bigger bands at Incarnation.
Right.
But I'll argue you see better bands at Milwaukee.
I would go to the Milwaukee Metal Fest because most likely this will be a similar lineup to Louder Than Life. But, yeah. You know, you're talking about what you're seeing this year. I think so far, Life of Agony, Sick of It All will be here in March. Okay. I'm eyeballing that. And then Ricky Rackman's doing his spoken word thing here. So okay. I'll definitely be hitting that up just to go check out his One Foot in the Gutter tour.
Sure.
The Kings of Thrash is going to be in Indy soon. And I would love to go up and see that. I don't know if I'll make that trip or not, but that would be awesome to see that, you know, Dave Ellison play Megadeth in a small club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then like we said, the Panteras and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, ooh, I want to go to that. Ooh, I want to go to that. Ooh, I want to go to that. But I really need to like actually look at a calendar and start mapping out, you know, what I can and can't do.
Got to start saving some money for all this shit.
Save some for gas money. I'm gonna start.
Believe me, I'm doing that this year too. I'm doing that this year too. I'm gonna be like, hey. Hey, Pantera people. Hey, Kate, how are you? Right. I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a minute. one of the bands that we talked about on the Milwaukee Metal Fest is Fear Factory.
Yes.
And Dino Cazares has been preparing new Fear Factory singer for the internet trolls coming after him.
Oh, yeah. How does he prepare him exactly? Other than saying, hey, people are going to say mean things to you. There, now you're prepared.
Well, in an interview with Australia's Wall of Sound, Fear Factory guitarist Dino Cazares once again opened up about his band's search for a new vocalist following the departure of Burton C. Bell more than 2 years ago. That's already been 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding how he is preparing the new singer for the inevitable barrage of criticism once his identity has been revealed, he said, and as transcribed by Blabbermouth.net, I had a lot of preparation with him because he's going to have to be able to not only fill some big shoes, which he can vocal wise, but he's never been inside in that arena where you're going to have the media, you're going to have the internet trolls coming after you. So that's one of the main things I'm getting him prepared for, because some people just can't handle that emotionally.
So what's he doing? Sitting there going, "You suck, man. You suck."
Smacking him a couple times.
Yeah, exactly.
Anytime he posts on his Facebook, Dino just rolls in like, "You're not as good as Burton."
Yeah, exactly.
No Burton, no Fear Factory.
I mean, what kind of prep do you do exactly? Other than saying, yeah, you're going to take a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, what other prep is there to do?
Oh, there's no telling, man. It says, if you're in a small band growing to be a bigger band, yeah, eventually you grow into all the internet hate that you're going to get. But he's going to get it instantly, and it's going to be bombarded on him, Dino explained. But I understand where some of the people are coming from, because some people are not always adaptable to change. And Burton C. Bell definitely did have the legendary voice for Fear Factory. No shit.
No kidding.
Of all things that is legendary about Fear Factory, I think Burton C. Bell's voice is probably number one.
Yeah, I'd say, considering even Dino was able to be replaced at one point, it really didn't change too much of the vibe. I mean, it's a little different, but
yeah, it's a little bit different. But things change, people's lives change, and sometimes you have to move on. And that's exactly what we've both done.
Yeah. So, dude, in the related story, did you see that Tommy Vexed and company are going out and playing the Bleed the Fifth album, the Divine Heresy record?
Yeah, I saw that.
I love that.
That Tommy Vexed band is like a all-star band too. It's like Mark Rizzo. And yeah. Is that the same band? Is it the Mark Rizzo and
Adam from Machine Head?
Yeah. Adam from Machine Head and Phil Demmel's in the band.
Is it Phil Demmel? Is he in that too?
They showed a photo like of one person blurred out, and it's clearly Phil Demmel.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So. And they got Tim Young out of retirement or out of whatever he's been doing. Tim Young is going to be in this. Dude.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. I'm more excited to see that than I am the Fear Factory reunion. That's going to rule.
I'm not the biggest fan of Tommy Vexed, but Mark Rizzo and Phil Demmel in a band together with Adam from Machine Head and Tim Young, sign me up all day.
Now, are you not a fan of him as a performer? Or are you just not a fan of him?
No, the performance, I guess, is fine. He's just kind of fell off the planet there towards, you know, in the last few years.
Yeah. Oh, he's nice enough. When I talked to him, he was nice. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem with him. Yeah. He's got some kooky thoughts, but you know.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, I will say, I'm like, when he was the vocalist of the Westville Massacre, you know, loved it. He was like one of the very first guests I've talked to me, like, okay. I mean, within the first 10, 20 episodes. And he wasn't doing anything, I think, at the time when I interviewed him. It was just like, I don't know anybody, so I'm going to interview whatever I can get.
Sure.
And I can't remember even how I came across him, maybe just through Facebook. But he joined the Westfield Massacre like shortly after that. And I took my son to the show. And he, you know, there's a video of my son, you know, going out when he's like, how old would he been there? Maybe 9.
Okay.
10. And he's like, if you like the Westfield Massacre, make some noise, you know? And the whole crowd's like, because they were opening for Seven Dust.
Okay.
And like it was his first show he'd ever gone to. And I hit him later. I'm like, dude, don't, I told my son later, I was like, don't think that's going to happen at every show. You don't just get to go on stage.
It's funny.
But yeah. But Tommy was cool, man. Tommy was good to me. Yeah. Good to my kid.
I like Tommy. I'm team Tommy as well, I guess. I guess if it's him or Bad Wolves, I'll take Tommy Vexed.
I don't know. I'm Doc's been on the podcast a few times and you know, I
like Doc too. I mean, I love God forbid.
Yeah.
I was a fan of that. Whatever.
Who's the main guy in Bad Wolves? What's the drummer? John Berklin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good dude on the podcast too.
Look at that.
So
Look at us just throwing names around. All our buddies.
Hang on. Let me pick up all these names I've been dropping.
All our buddies are in all these bands.
Did the other day, the emergency bell tried to FaceTime me, and which was obviously a butt dial, but still. Somehow I'm still in his phone, so I'll take that. But I'm excited to see who this new Fear Factory guy is. But I mean, in all honesty, man, I think by this time, it's like no matter who it is, it's going to be kind of a letdown. And you're like,
I think the same thing. I'm thinking the same thing. It's going to be like, oh, okay. You know, it's not going to be exciting. I mean, who could it possibly be that it would be exciting? I can't think of anybody.
Howard Jones.
Howard's not going to do that.
Well, I know. I'm just trying. Who would make it exciting for me?
Yeah.
And that is kind of out there, you know, like Mark Hunter. You know, that would be awesome.
But yeah, I mean, it would be cool, but
yeah,
somehow I don't think those guys are needing a you know, refresher course on how to take criticism.
Right.
It's going to be some no-name guy. That's what it's going to be.
Well, I mean, that's what they keep saying. I mean, they keep saying some dude from overseas or whatever, but yeah, he better be awesome. But do you think they're going to go the route where they record like a classic tune, you know, replica with a new guy, just to show you how cool his voice is?
I'm sure they have to. He's put himself into that corner at this point.
Yeah.
He's got to put out either a brand new song or an old song. And to me, I don't even think a new song. If he puts out a new song, people, no matter what it sounds like, are going to say it sucks. You know, no matter what, if the first thing we hear is a new song, people are going to be like, that doesn't sound like Bert. It sucks. It's garbage. You know, no matter what it sounds like. So yeah, he's got to do like replica or something and or Cars or, you know, something, I don't know, right. You know, something where he can. Cars would be the one I would think. I mean, replica makes sense as a Fear Factory fan, but Cars would be the one to get promoters because Cars was a radio hit. So Cars, if it sounds good, then you can get gigs booked past the Static X tour, you know, and you got to think that Dino's thinking, how do I make money with this fucking beast?
Speaking of some Dino adjacent, I saw some videos of Mike De Leon's first Soulfly shows. I was, you know, thoroughly impressed with those. And then they show where the Soulfly was presented with the key to the city by Albuquerque's metalhead mayor.
Right.
We need to reach out to this metalhead mayor, see if he wants to come on the show.
Yeah, we need to get him on. Why not? That'd be great.
Let's just quickly, Albuquerque, New Mexico's mayor, Tim Keller, prior to the band's concert last night, Saturday, January 28th at the Launchpad venue, I played there. Keller also introduced Soulfly at the gig, which is part of Max Cavalera's Fronted Outfits U.S. massive U.S. tour, which kicked off 3 days earlier in Tucson, Arizona.
Nice. Yeah, we need that mayor on here. Can we get a key to the city?
Yeah. This was not the first time Keller was spotted sporting heavy metal merchandise in public. 3 years ago, Keller donned a Machine Head hoodie when he cast his ballot in the U.S. presidential election. Back in December of 2018, he wore a Pantera Christmas sweater for a signing of a bill granting family paid parental leave to city employees.
Nice.
So he's kind of popped up. Born and raised in Albuquerque, Keller is a well-known fan of heavy metal music and has often attended shows in the city. He also introduced metal bands, including Anthrax and Trivium, on stage.
You know what I like about this guy? That he's really a metalhead. Not
right?
A lot of times you'll see these things. I'm like, this guy's into metal. And they'll be like, yeah, Ozzy. And it's like, no, that's not what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. I love heavy metal. AC/DC.
AC/DC. Guns and Roses, man. No.
Keller told the Albuquerque Journal that his favorite heavy metal group is the Brazilian band Sepultura.
All right.
Of whom Cavalera is a founding member. They are awesome, he said. It's the music of empowerment.
No. Can you imagine like going to like your city hall or something and you're like, getting your, you know, getting tags on your car or something.
Right.
You go to city on your hair, you know, the fucking Sepultura right. playing. That would rule.
Yeah, so they're trying to get a zoning for your, you know, to do a new fence or something in the back, get a building permit and all this. Bound and bound and bound and bound.
Yeah.
Roots. Just blaring out of the,
refuse, of the office. Refuse. Resist. These taxes.
Right? Well, that's awesome, man. Yeah, we. It seems like I'll reach out to the office of Tim Keller and see if we can have him on the show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's see, one last thing and then we'll get into our recommendations for the week. How about that?
Okay.
Actually, a video I just watched, but a song I've listened to a few times. A Sebastian Bach lookalike gets hit in the head by a falling laptop in the new Falling in Reverse music video.
So funny.
I honestly, watching the video, if I was Sebastian Bach and that was supposed to be a lookalike, I'd be, honored. Yeah. Like, all right, if that's going to be my lookalike, at least it wasn't like a fat Sebastian Bach. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely got 1991 Sebastian, not 2021 or 2023 Sebastian. Yeah. He definitely got a skinny guy, but that is funny. Good for him. I the only thing I wish on that, I wish it would have been a good song.
Yeah.
Cause that song sucks.
Oh,
you like that song?
I don't love it. I will say that, but I think, and it's also maybe my expectations were low because I talked to you before I actually listened to the song.
Okay.
And so my expectations were super low, but he kind of just like took this kind of like the Ozzy record where they took all the best parts of the Ozzy's career and put it into one album. Like he almost kind of did that with Falling in Reverse's career. He took all the best parts of the career and threw it into one track. Cause there's kind of the mumble rappy part. And then there's the kind of punky emo part, you know, and the super heavy part, you know, they kind of, it was almost like Falling in Reverse by Numbers to me, but I didn't hate it, but it definitely kind of threw me off a little bit.
I didn't like it. I have no problem with Falling in Reverse. I like him.
Yeah.
But I don't like when he goes full Eminem. And this is full Eminem.
Oh,
first half of that is full Eminem. And it's like, dude, stop. Just stop. You're not that guy.
Yeah. You know?
But the laptop part was funny. I will say the first time I watched it through and he got hit down with the laptop, I laughed out loud. I was like, that's good.
And what's funny is because of the laptop thing in that song, and people are like, just get on stage and play your music. But if you listen to that, if this one song, Watch the World Burn, tell me how a band like that can just get on stage and play that song.
Can't.
Because it's so much electronics in that song
that
you need, you know, need a keyboard player at least, you know, to hit a keyboard button or something.
Sure.
You know? You need some electronics, you know, it's electronic driven band at this point, you know. They've got guitars and drums and everything else for a lot of the stuff, but you know, you there's a lot of production going on that you can't just put up a couple of Marshall stacks, man, and just go.
Yeah, you know how it is, dude. There's always going to be people that are like, that's not even really metal, you know. The same people that say Slipknot's not metal. It's like, shut up. Of course it is.
Well, those people are definitely wrong. We're actually gonna dive right into this real quick. Follow-up story for the for the cop that was banging the entire precinct.
All right.
In Laverne, Tennessee. So she has come out and has given an interview.
Oh, good.
See here. So the Tennessee cop fired for having sex with multiple officers while on duty told investigators she cracked, quote unquote, while going through a difficult divorce, leading to affairs with randy male colleagues who would stick their dick in anything. And that was her quote. Her quote was that the officers would stick their dick in anything.
And she qualifies as anything. Is that what she's saying?
Unfortunately, you know, I think that most of us agree that, you know, she's kind of a stick their dick in anything kind of girl.
Yeah.
When confronted by an internal investigator, 26-year-old Megan Hall came clean about the sordid affairs. Me and my husband were kind of on the verge of a divorce and I just cracked. And then I just kind of got out of hand, she said.
So to be clear, she was the queen of faithful until this moment.
Maybe.
Get out of here.
She says, I got stupid. I got desperate, I guess. And guys are guys and they'll stick their dick in anything.
Talk about pushing the blame on someone else.
Yeah.
They'll stick their dick in anything that's letting them. And you were the hole that was letting them. Stop it. Yeah, I mean, she's putting all the blame on the guys. No. She was the one with the legs open and the mouth open. not the guys. The guys are just like, oh, you will? Sure. Why not?
I mean, that's kind of their stick their dick in anything line.
Well, yeah.
In one part of the 61-page transcript, Hall admitted to performing oral sex on Sergeant Lewis Powell inside a police substation. She said that their affair involved, quote unquote, a lot of sex and was sparked by troubles in her marriage. She also confessed to having sex with fellow officer Larry Holiday and a threesome with fellow officer Patrick Magaloco and his wife. Nudes were also reportedly exchanged between Hall and multiple officers.
Yeah. How does that play into the stick your dick in anything? Anything that's showing you a fresh vag that you could stick your cock in. You know, here's a picture. You want this? Here, sure. Okay, then come over. That's how this plays.
I guess guys will stick their dick in anything except for her husband. Hall detailed how she tried to coax her own husband into a wife swap with Magaloco and his wife, but that plan failed, she said. When Mags was like right by us and then on the couch, Mags was like, if y'all start making out, maybe Jed will get into it. My husband into the idea, Hall recounted, according to the transcript. And then we started making out and Jed was like, no.
I would love to hear some sexy talk with the name Jed in it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jed.
Come on, Jed.
Come on, Jed.
Give it to me, Jed.
You gonna take that ass, Jed? Jesus.
Take me, Jed.
Take me, Jed. Jed.
Isn't it like Jedi? It wasn't a Jedediah too, which is even worse. Right. Hall also recalled how she tried to hook her husband into a sexual romp with another couple, Sergeant Ty McGowan, the fired sergeant, and his wife, according to the transcript. Ty wanted to try to get Jed to have a thing with all of us, she told Patton. We played strip Uno, and then V, McGowan's wife, went on to the patio with Jed. Me and Ty kissed for a little bit, and then that was it, she said.
All right, I think she's trying to reinvent a little bit of history here. Let's just be honest. Again, I don't even have a real problem with her throwing the pussy around. That's fine. Go ahead.
Do what she wants.
Yeah, that's. I don't see that she did anything really that wrong. If she wanted to, go ahead.
And then the last quote here is, do you have a foot fetish? Do you send pictures of your feet to people? Asked Andrew Patton, the head of human resources. I don't, Hall replied, but Ty does.
Yeah, there you go. Guy was into the feet, so she took pictures of the feet.
Yeah, Ty's got a foot fetish.
Yeah,
that's one fetish I do not understand.
I don't get that. I don't get feet. Feet are gross.
Well, I don't think they're gross. I just don't understand, like, sending pictures of your feet.
I don't care how many showers a girl takes. That's one of them weird things. I really don't want to put your fucking toe in my mouth. No.
Come on, Jed. Put my toe in your mouth.
Yeah. Suck my toe, Jed.
Ty'll do it.
Ty licks the funk right out between those toes. Where are you at?
Jed.
Come on, Jed.
To the shed.
Come on, Jed.
Get you some, Jed.
Jed.
Jed. This is what she gets for marrying a Jedediah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anybody named Jedediah is not going to be in your foursome.
You know? Yeah, really. It's just not, I don't care what the guy looks like. It can't be a sexy name, can it? Jed or Jedediah? Jedediah is even worse.
If you grow up as a Jedediah, you didn't grow up as a, you know, exploring your sexuality. No. That sounds like Sunday Bible school every year, every day, you know.
It's like a prerequisite to have an Amish beard to be a Jedediah. I mean, come on. You're Jedediah.
The only time you would have got Jedediah in your threesome is like that one, you know, like when that one weekend that they allow like the Amish guys to go just do whatever the hell they want. And then they have to come back, you know, like go and smoke your cigarettes, drink your beer, go to a strip club and then come home.
If you were named Jed or Jedediah as an adult, wouldn't you just be JD?
Ooh. Yeah, that's probably a JD.
That's a JD name, or you'd either be J or JD. You would never stick with Jed. I'm stuck on the Jed thing. It's no wonder she cheated. She was married to Jed.
Well, she's like Megan, like M-E-A-G-A-N or something like that. So, I mean, it's the whole family. You might as well just, you need to stay away from the Hall family.
Yeah, that's literally taking a bag of trash and just dumping gallons of white paint on it. It is as white trash as it gets.
All right. Is that where that comes from? They paint the trash white?
I have no idea. It's just something that jumped into my head.
I didn't know if there was like some sort of weird, we were listening to some history podcast and the history of the term white trash was.
No, white trash.
In 1847, they were trying to make the trash not look so bad. So they painted it white.
That's a good theory. Might be. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, but some of the podcast, I'm sure I'll come across it in my podcast listening.
Nice.
Well, man, let's dive into some recommendations and then we'll get out of here, man. Quickly, I'll just do mine. It's actually both TV.
Okay.
We started Poker Face. I don't know if you've been watching that yet or not.
I have not started that. Is that good?
So far, so good, man. I'm one episode in. A little bit of a weird plot hole that it bothers me because I play cards. And one of the reasons that she... It kind of gives it away, but the reason she... is in her situation is because of this like almost like power that she has, but they basically said she was cheating at cards, but the way she was cheating at cards, I just sounds like she has a talent. It's not necessarily cheating.
Okay.
So that's the only plot hole I have so far, but I mean, it escalates quick. Like the first episode escalates quick. So I'm definitely looking forward to watching more of that.
And that's Netflix.
Yeah, it's actually Netflix.
Okay.
And then over on Amazon Prime, Nate Bargatze has a new comedy special, called Hello World, I believe it's called.
Okay.
And, you know, he's got a dry sense of humor, kind of just self-deprecating humor. Pretty funny guy. And, you know, he and I are the same age and he grew up in Old Hickory, Tennessee, which is like one town over from where I grew up. And none of my friends know him. Like nobody. And I have friends that like lived in the same town he lived in.
Okay.
And like nobody knows him. Like I was like, did we know Nate Bargatze as a kid? Did he, you know, come around band practice? Did he, you know, go to school with anybody? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nice.
But yeah, so the new Nate Bargatze special is really good too. We laughed out loud a few times.
All right. Well, that's good. All right, I'll give one avoid at all cost and one watch at all cost. Avoid at all cost on Hulu. As I've said many times, I am a sucker for shark movies. Well, they popped one up this week that might be the worst shark movie of all time. And this is from somebody that has watched Five-Headed Shark and Six-Headed Shark. And this is worse than either of those two. All right. It's called Maneater. It stars Jeff Fahey, who... You have no idea who he is, but if you look him up, you'll be like, oh yeah, that guy. Okay. He's one of those guys. He always plays like a tall prisoner in prison movies or a mechanic in mechanic movies, you know, movies that have mechanics. He's one of those guys. Okay. You'll recognize him. And then it features Shane West, who has the distinction of Shane West was, if you watched the show ER,
okay.
You had the main cast of ER, and then they replaced all those guys with a second tier of ER guys. And then you replaced all those guys, and Shane West was one of those guys in the third tier of ER. He really was not a prominent player. But after watching Maneater, he has the distinction of being typecast as a guy without legs. Because he got in a car accident on ER and lost his legs, and he got his legs bit off in this movie. So he's typecast as guy without legs, but this movie called Maneater is just pure shit. It was really tough to get to the end of. I mean, it was really, really bad. The shark looked terrible. The plot was terrible. It gives Jaws 4 the Revenge a run for its money on the all-time bad shark movies. So avoid that one. It's Maneater. It's on Hulu. And then one that you should watch is one of the, I'm going to say it, and it's big talk. I'm going to say it might be the best written show since The Sopranos.
Okay.
This show called Blackbird on Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
It's about, there's this guy, he gets busted for drug trafficking and weapons charges or whatever. Gets 10 years. He gets suckered into accepting a plea, and then the judge fucks him and gives him 10 years.
Okay.
But then once he gets in, they offer him a deal to try and convince a serial killer to tell him where the one missing body that they know that he killed is buried. But the serial killer is locked up in an insane asylum. So they have to transfer him into an insane asylum, and he has to find a way to get close to this prisoner who's a serial killer without giving himself away. And of course, also without being found out that he's a snitch. So it's a crazy, crazy good show. It's called Blackbird. It's on Apple TV Plus, and I am wholly addicted to this thing. Really, really good. So check that one out.
So here's a weird thing. I Google Shane West.
Mm-hmm.
Shane West was also the lead singer for a punk rock band called Johnny Was for 7 or 8 years. And in November of 2005, while the movie What We Do Is Secret was still in production, it was announced that West would be fronting the Germs on tour.
Wow.
He performed with the band for nearly 5 years.
Okay, look at that. Yeah, I remember they sort of did make out in ER that he was like a musician guy, but every time they showed him, he sucked. So I just thought it was fake.
So yeah, there's him and Pat Smear on stage together.
Look at that. How about that?
It all comes back to music somehow.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't want to give it away, but I got some really awesome interviews coming up. Cool. I did one with Tim Ripper Owens. I can say that one. You know, your buddy.
And, yes, sir.
But talking about his return to Death Row EP mm-hmm. with Josta and Nikki Belmore and company. Good cool, times. Cool. But other than that, man, got a lot of cool stuff coming up. And so just stay tuned to your socials to see what's going on with the Talk right. to Me podcast.
There you go.
And then some changes, obviously, to this show coming too. So it's going to be a lot of good stuff coming, right, Chris?
That's right. Can't wait.
All right. So for the Talk to Me podcast here at knotfest.com, I've been Joshua Toomey.
I am still Chris Aiken.
And we will talk to you soon.
See ya.
The Talk to Me podcast presented by knotfest.com. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk to Me podcast.